This next song, Amanda and I'd like to do for you, is a song called New Beginnings. I just want to just give you just a little insight on it, because I hear a song and I wonder how it was written and what it was about. But years ago, I was sitting in that third pew right there, and John Riley was our minister. And I forgot exactly, but basically the next four Sundays, we're going to be talking about new beginnings. And I'm a guitar hacker, and that just struck me. And I grabbed a piece of paper and wrote that down. And went home, and just over the course of writing a song, I thought, what are some new beginnings? I thought about that, and you're going to hear that in the song. But as Amanda and I have been doing this song, I realized one of the most important new beginnings that we all have is our last breath on earth. And we all need to think about that, where we're going to be going. But, and I could tell you more about the song, but I'd really be crying, so. But there are a lot of different factors in it, but anyway, a lot of people have touched my life in this church. And, but anyway, I hope you enjoy the song. Amanda does a great job on it. It's called New Beginnings.
I want to sing the doxology again. That was beautiful. Thank you very much. Thank you for that. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moments. So Thomas had the bag this week. Let's see what we got in there. Got a Ziploc bag. Now what is that?
A bead.
A yellow bead in a Ziploc bag. It looks like evidence.
And I have a Batman that we can
work. Oh, okay. So what do you use beads for? Decorate, put them on a string. When I was in middle school and high school, friendship bracelets were a big deal. And everyone made friendship bracelets. I never got any, but I saw a lot of them. And they reminded us of all our friends. And a lot of times we'd use them as church, and each bead would represent maybe a friend that we'd have, and it would remind us to pray for that friend. And so we'd look at our bracelets, or I'd look at somebody else's bracelet, because again, I didn't have one, and we would remember to pray for different friends of ours, maybe for our parents or for others. And so beads, man, they go way back, and I can remember having those, or at least seeing them a long time ago, and those friendship bracelets would just remind us that we have friends, and that there are people that are praying for us and being with us and helping us each and every day. And so I want us to remember that, all right? So Thomas had the bag this week. You okay, all right. Well, there you go. Now you've got the bag. So we're going to pray, and then you guys can go to Children's Church, all right? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for these children, the opportunity we have not only to teach them, Lord, but the opportunities we have to learn from them. Remind us always of our friends and those who come alongside. Remind us always of the opportunities we have to pray for those whom we know and love. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can go downstairs. I want to thank Jeff and Amanda again for leading us in worship in that way. Beautiful songs, beautiful reminders of all the things God can and wants to do in our midst. As we continue to celebrate and to consider God's love and grace this All Saints Sunday, we're going to be looking at the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. We're going to look at it today, and we're going to look at it next week. And next week, we're going to look a lot more at the redemptive aspects of this book. But before we can get there, before we can be reminded of God's goodness in our midst, we have to wallow through some things. But even as we wallow through, we know that God is with us and that God will never leave us or forsake us. And so I want us to be mindful of that today, because the story of Ruth and Naomi is a simple story, but one with profound truths in it that we can glean and that we can remember and hopefully utilize in our own lives. So with that being said, let us hear now God's word from Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. During the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. A man with his wife and two sons went from Bethlehem of Judah to dwell in the territory of Moab. The name of that man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They entered the territory of Moab and settled there, but Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Then only she was left, along with her two sons. They took wives for themselves, Moabite women. The name of the first was Orpah, and the name of the second was Ruth, and they lived there for about 10 years. But both of the sons, Mahlon and Chilion, also died. Only the woman was left without her two children and without her husband. Then she arose along with her daughters-in-law to return from the field of Moab, because while in the territory of Moab, she had heard that the Lord had paid attention to his people by providing food for them. She left the place where she had been, and her two daughters-in-law went with her. They went along the road to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go, turn back each of you to the household of your mother. May the Lord deal faithfully with you, just as you have done with the dead and with me. May the Lord provide for you, so that you may find security, each woman in the household of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. But they replied to her, "No, instead we will return with you to your people." Naomi replied, "Turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Will there again be sons in my womb, that they would be husbands for you? Turn back, my daughters, go. I am too old for a husband. If I were to say that I have hope, even if I had a husband tonight, and even more, if I were to bear sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you refrain from having a husband? No, my daughters, this is more bitter for me than for you, since the Lord's will has come out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth stayed with her. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is returning to her people and to her gods. Turn back after your sister-in-law." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to abandon you, to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me, and more so if even death separates me from you." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her about it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for your love and for your grace, for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Naomi, here in chapter 1 of Ruth, has lost her husband. She has lost her two sons. She finds herself as a stranger in a foreign land, all alone, save for her two daughters-in-law. And she desires to return home to Judah, where she could possibly find some respite. She desires to return to Bethlehem, where her family and her friends are. Naomi has given up all hope. This is in the time of the judges, and we know that in the time of the judges, the people follow God and things are well, and then they forget about God and they fall into wickedness and they fall under the rule and under the captivity of foreign governments. And after they cry out for a time, God delivers them. And this is the cycle that continues for several generations, and Naomi and Ruth find themselves in that generation. Naomi has given up all hope. She even tells people when she returns home in chapter 1, verse 20, to call her Mara. Mara is the Hebrew word for bitter. She no longer wants to be called Naomi. And what's so interesting, so many times people, when they read Scripture, they have a hard time following along, and especially when they get to the names and things like that. And I'm always interested at what someone's name means. And Naomi's name means pleasantness. And unfortunately, that has not been the reality of her life at this point. It's been anything but pleasant. It has been bitter. It has been Mara. And that is how she wants to be referred. Naomi's story, in a lot of ways, is very similar to a lot of our stories. It's a story, at least at this point, of loss and desperation. As we consider Naomi and Ruth, I want us to be mindful of how we respond to life in faithful and honest ways. Because we all know this morning that life is not fair. It's not fair. There are things that happen that are beyond our control, and how are we going to respond to it? And I think these two women show us the two ways that we tend to respond. And hopefully, as we consider this, we can be faithful in our response to God in the midst of all of the things that we undoubtedly face. So Naomi's response to all of this is that she wants to be alone. She wants to be left alone. Her grief is driving her into isolation. She is unwilling or unable, at least at this point, to find comfort in community, to find comfort in others who are there. She refuses to be vulnerable, again, at least initially, and she falls into thinking that no one understands. Has anyone ever told themselves a lie like this? You've fallen into hard times. There's a name for that. It's called a taradiddle. You tell yourself these lies, these falsehoods. So don't taradiddle. Don't even try to figure out any more about it, because it's a crazy word. But this is what she is doing. She's telling herself that she wants to be alone and that she can find strength on her own. And how many of us have, again, fallen into that lie and done that very thing? And how freeing it is when we realize there is at least one other person that can begin to understand the things that we are going through. Naomi is angry. She's confused. She's frustrated. Like many of us, her loss seems insurmountable. How can God redeem this type of loss? How can God redeem this amount of loss? Naomi wants to go home alone. She doesn't want her daughters-in-law, Orpah or Ruth, to stay with her. And she goes so far as to beg and plead with them to leave, to go back home. There's no reason for you to join me in my misery. Go and live your life and be happy. And we see that after some convincing, Orpah does return to her people, to her gods. But Ruth refuses to go, and she clings to Naomi. Now, the name of Ruth, again, very interesting, and it means companion. It means friend, vision of beauty. Ruth is indeed being a companion and a friend, living into the name she has been given. And because she stays by Naomi's side, there is a vision of beauty between these two women, a companionship and a friendship that is growing and blossoming in beautiful, beautiful ways. And again, we know that Ruth has lost her husband, and likely, like Naomi, she feels angry, confused, frustrated. However, her response is different. She seeks community over isolation. She wants to be with Naomi, to be with others. She knows that she must continue to hold on to those whom she loves. And she has to come alongside Naomi and help her to see the possibilities that are there. Ruth goes so far as to make a covenant with Naomi. She says, "Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Wherever you go, I will go. May I be put to persecution and even death if anything but death separates us from this day forward." She makes covenant with Naomi to share with her in her destiny, to share with her in her life moving forward. Ruth's grief drives her into fellowship. She refuses to go. She says, "I won't go." Ruth clings to God more closely, though she could easily blame God for taking her husband away from her. And how often do we fall into that trap of blaming God for taking things or people away from us? She refuses to place blame, and she simply seeks resolution. She seeks a possible answer. She seeks to remain with God, a God that she hasn't even grown up worshiping like Naomi has. All of us this morning need a Ruth in our life. All of us this morning, I would venture to guess, have had the opportunity to be a Ruth in someone's life. I won't go is how we should respond to those who are hurt, to those who are in need, to those who suffer loss. I will not go. I will stay. Nothing will separate us because I am here to remind you of God's grace, even in the midst of this hurt and this pain. We stay, and we should stay because we know that God remains. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And so we must never leave or forsake each other. Today, we gather around the table. We remember God's presence in our midst. We remember those who have not left us, but who have gone on ahead of us, who are awaiting our new beginning with them and with God. We remember each other. And hopefully when we gather around the table, we have the opportunity to be that Ruth for each other. Bringing others to the table, letting them know that God is in our midst. God is present. God is active. God is a God of salvation, a God of new beginnings, a God of second chances. There are those today present with us who are Naomi, who are hurt, who are suffering, who are in need, remembering loved ones. And there are others of us today who can come alongside as Ruth, reminding you, comforting you with the fact that you are not alone. We are here with you. We want to be together. As we gather around this table today, as we celebrate God's constant presence in our midst, I pray that we would remember always that there are those who are with us and that we never truly are left or forsaken by God. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence in our midst. We pray that you would continue to guide and lead us as we seek to find comfort, to find answers in you, and or as we seek to come alongside those who are in need. Lord, we love you. Take us in your arms, bandage our wounds, sit beside us, and just whisper words of love. We thank you for all this, and we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.